Mr. Sinapi. Mr. DeLuise. Mr. Foley.
Here.
Mr. Gephardt.
Here.
Mr. Kirby.
Here.
Mr. Lattiser.
Here.
Mr. Muno.
Here.
Mr. Napa.
Here.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Nine present.
To the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
Next, we have general communications for announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Do any members of the council have anything for general communications? Councilman Muto.
Thank you. Condolences for a long life, for Kenneth Burke, who is a lifelong resident of Warwick. He was 78, recently passed this past January. Good friend and close friend of our colleague Jack Kirby. He survived by his wife, who they were married for 54 years, and he was a local business owner for the past 60 years. He's also survived by his two daughters, Kimberly and Shannon, asking for a moment of silence.
Please have a moment of silence for Mr. Kenneth Burke. Do any other members of the council have anything for announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events? Seeing none, we can move on to acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on January 13th, 2025. Do we have a motion? Motion made by Councilman Ricks. Do we have a second? Councilman Gebhardt. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right. That passes. Now, January 22nd, 2025 minutes. Do we have a motion for approval?
Make a motion.
And Councilman Lattiser, motion for approval, seconded by Councilman Gebhardt. All in favor? All opposed? All right, so that's approved. Next, we have public comment. Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly amongst speakers. Time shall not be transferable amongst speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period, and the public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all speakers, concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. First on the sign-up sheet, we have Mr. Richard Langseth. And just make sure, despite the fact that I already did it, to identify yourself.
Does this work? No. Is this working?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm. and we're going to talk about Buttonwoods again. I have a letter from Nixon Peabody to the Buttonwood Beach Association that says that the sewer authority spent $4,200,000 to build the sewers in the Buttonwoods Fire District. And of that, $400,000 was for extra things that were unanticipated, probably at the fault of the Fire District or the Beach Association. Then on page two, it goes on to explain that they are deferring $600,000 in the expenses that the Beach Association and the Fire District should have paid to the City of Warwick. They deferred $600,000 because the land was not being developed, that it was open land. And what they said was, in 20 years, they made a little deal that they didn't have to pay the $600,000 ever, but at the end of 20 years, they have to pay $400,000. Now, that is 3 years from now. And yet, even so, even after that, there's $1 million that the city gave to the Beach Association and Fire District for whatever reason. I don't know. They just gave it away. And this is an example of the city government giving things away for which there's never any money coming back. And I think there are other examples of that going on tonight, but I really don't want to get into that too much. But we need to be very, very careful that what we, in quotes, give away in terms of benefits or what have you, needs to come back somehow. We can't be in a situation where we give stuff away and it never comes back. Here we have the Beach Association owing $400,000 to the City of Warwick in 3 years, and they have no income at all, zero. We need to be responsible about this kind of thing. When we contract with people or when we do this or do that, we need to know that there is money to pay. And this is a perfect example of what happens when there isn't money to pay. Now what's going to happen, I can assure you, in 3 years, they are going to come before the city council and they're going to say, gee, we don't have the money, we're sorry. And you know what the city council has to do then or before then? Is take down the no trespassing signs on that highway. That highway has been a public highway since colonial times. There is a map in Parliament, which is now in the Library of Congress, that says that Buttonwoods Avenue is a public highway to the shore in the 1700s. And then in the 1800s, many more maps, many more things going on. Buttonwoods Avenue is a public highway to the sea. And you know what I hear from everybody around here? Oh, we can't deal with these people at Buttonwoods. They're too powerful. They have too much money. You know what? There are 30,000 families in the City of Warwick, and there's probably 50 families living at Buttonwoods year-round. And these 50 families can tell the city that, oh, you can give us all kinds of money, but we're not going to give you anything back. Now, that's a real problem when it comes to employee benefits. I've been in the employee benefit business for many, many years. And what the deal is the employees pay, they contribute, they pay part, they pay 20%, they pay 30%. Here we have the City of Warwick saying, oh, we're going to give this away. Okay, give it away. But what are we going to get back for it? That's what I want to know.
1 minute, Mr. Langseth.
Okay. So anyway, in terms of Buttonwoods, what's going on is I'm going to the CRMC next week, and we're going to talk about the right of way to the shore. And I hope that the city council supports me on this because it's part of the SAMP, the Greenwich Bay SAMP plan. And you folks have promised to make all the rights of way possible that you can find. And here's the most obvious one in the whole state of Rhode Island. And we really need to think about this. And help me with it. And I'll help you if you help me. Thank you very much. And I'll pass this letter to the city council by email.
So next we have the Honorable Tim Howe.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, it's good to see you. My former and colleagues, my new elected officials, Councilman Brian Knapper, my councilman. My name is Timothy Howe. I live in Ward 3, and I am a taxpayer within the city of Warwick, a resident within the city of Warwick, and I'm here to speak in favor, not to interrupt the committee for 10 minutes in each at each collective bargaining discussion. I'm here to give you one full big endorsement for approval of these collective bargaining contracts that are going to be before you this evening. And the reason why I'm doing that is I've always seen things in a math lens as the big, the moderate, and the small, direct or indirect, if you will. Federal government collects a lot of taxes depending on someone's income, a lot of taxes through fuel tax, other taxes, and they handle a big globe, a big umbrella. The state handles the state of Rhode Island. They charge a lot of taxes. But everything that we pay here in the city of Warwick is direct services. When we call 911, we anticipate and we expect and we receive the Warwick Fire Department. We anticipate, we accept, and we receive the Warwick Police Department. And when it snows, we anticipate, we expect, and we receive the best plowing. We get the sanitation. When we go to the Sawtooth building and we need our city services, whether it be the taxes, whether it means clarification, building permits, business permits, that is direct services to the city of Warwick. There is no need that we should put the burdens of the federal financial burdens or the state financial burdens. I think that this council, this administration have done a great job in preparing and in planning for what is coming in the future. These workers, the services are second to none. I think if any of us drive around the city and the state, or drive around the state and other cities, we can see some challenges. They have slightly different challenges than us and some of the same challenges. But as a taxpayer and as a resident, I certainly hope you really do keep in mind and consider approving the three contracts that are before you today. Councilman Ricks, I want to commend you. I want to congratulate you. I remember when we were first on the council, we were elected the same time together, and you pushed for OPEP, and you again and again stated OPEP, OPEP. There needs to be something about OPEP. In all three contracts that is being heard tonight, there is OPEP contributions. That was something that people listened to. That was something the administration adhered to. That was something that people within the council, including myself, listened to, paid attention to, and heard. So, congratulations. I look forward to you giving a big thumbs up on these contracts, because your drum that you beat for many years respectfully is now included in these contracts as we prepare for that next phase. I want to say thank you, and I want to wish you all the very best and have a wonderful month. Thank you.
Next, we have the consent calendar, PCR 21-25, resolution relative to bids. This is Councilman Lattiser.
I'm sorry, repeat that, Council President.
So we have the consent calendar now, PCR 21-25, resolution relative to bids.
Sure.
Can you issue the report for finance?
Finance Committee recommends favorable action.
For action?
Move favorable action.
Motion made and seconded by Councilman Foley, Councilman Knapper. All right, Councilman Lattiser.
Item number 1, 2025-347, purchase of commercial and industrial equipment. Item 2, 2025-200, liquid chlorine for McDermott Pool. Number 3, 2025-200, liquid chlorine for McDermott Pool. Number 4, 2025-001, maintenance and repairs of Thayer Warburton Ice. 2025, Adobe licensing and support. Number 6, 2025-355, telecommunications carrier investigations. And number 7, 2021, motor oil and oil filter.
Any questions or comments on the consent calendar that weren't heard in committee? Seeing none. Do we have a motion on the consent calendar? Oh, already moved and seconded. So clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Aye.
Mr. DeLuise? Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Yes.
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 Now to unfinished business. First, we have PCR 10-25, 2025-300A, because there weren't enough numbers before. Security System Monitoring and Maintenance Service. This is Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Recommend favorable action on PCR 10-25, now 2025-300A.
Seconded by Councilman Muto, Councilman Gebhardt. Do you have any questions or comments that weren't made in committee? All right, clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 On to new business. First, we have PCR 17-25, resolution ratifying the collective bargaining agreement between the City of Warwick and Warwick Lodge No. 7, Fraternal Order of Police, for the period of July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2027. We've already had public comment on this one, and Councilman Lattiser, can you please give us the report from Finance?
Committee moved to the floor for without a recommendation for discussion.
All right, and Councilman Lattiser, you want to be recognized first?
Sure. So over the years, many of you in this room have heard me talk about the healthcare costs, the legacy costs, the pension costs. You've heard me talk about the cost of retirees with free lifetime healthcare. I had said long ago that any future contracts that come before me did not include some serious movement on those costs to the taxpayers, which I had on a couple of occasions put ordinances in to increase, that I would not be able to support that contract. We haven't seen this. We have our finances at a place where they've never been. We have very little movement on those huge costs, the most significant costs that we have. I don't have an issue with raises and paying our employees a fair wage. That's not the issue. I'm fine with raises. I'm fine with what our employees do. They all do a great job. But I also have a responsibility to the taxpayers who pay the bills. And this indebtedness that continues to mount is not sustainable. We know where we are with these problems. And the problems are only getting worse. And the danger, the pending danger with two significant issues that are out there, are going to have a very serious impact on our bond rating. Just a few days ago, our finance director said that two out of the five criteria for a state takeover is imminent. It's right here. We have a fiscal responsibility to address these problems and to continue on with the long-term debt that we have with the healthcare issues and the pensions, the lack of contributions, free lifetime health care, particularly for new hires. That's what I had stated for new hires. I didn't talk about taking away lifetime health care from existing workers, existing employees. Those are here. Fortune 5 companies don't offer these benefits any longer because they're not affordable. To say that this shouldn't be corrected and that let's just continue letting it go year after year after year is just going to compound the problem. So I guess the bottom line for me is that we've already been informed that there's a possibility, good possibility, of a maximum tax increase this year and perhaps foreseeable future. I think that there's a possibility, in addition to maximum tax increases, that we could also see supplemental tax increases. If we don't take care of this financial crisis that we are facing, the state will take over. And you've heard it before. We've heard it years ago. We asked our actuaries, probably 6 or 7 years ago, when are we going to get to the point of no return? And the answer for some of you who were on the council then, or in this chamber, was you've already reached it. It just doesn't seem to mean to folks that we're ever going to get there. I will not be able to support this contract, not because I disagree with the pay raises, excuse me, not because I don't believe our police department does an outstanding job. They do. But because they have not negotiated a reasonable contribution or increase in contribution to the healthcare costs, to take control of free lifetime healthcare for new hires, to have a responsible contribution for retirees, and to increase the cap on prescription drugs. For those reasons, as I've stated in the past, I will not be able to support this contract. Thank you.
All right, do any other members of the council have any comments or questions? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, President. So I'm a bit divided on this one. I'll walk through that a little bit. First, before I do want to thank for their service all of the members of Warwick's Police Department, truly Warwick's finest. And I think it's safe to say one of the finest police departments in the entire nation. I think that the total amount of raises here, various changes in the benefits and so forth, I don't object to that in particular. I don't object to the cumulative 14% in raises because I understand that inflation has increased in recent years. And I think that there are some positive changes here when it comes to adjustments for the probationary officers. All of that makes sense to me. Where I do have an issue is not starting out with the OPEB right at the 2% to match what was the contingent agreement of Local 2748. Effectively, this is a matter of the city leaving money on the table to the tune of something greater than $360,000. If you add up that kind of money compared to what would a 1% increase be in the salary of both Lodge 7 and Local 1651. My ballpark back of the envelope math is that, yeah, that $360,000 over the course of those 2 years where the contribution is less than 2% adds up to about 1% each. So it is just really confusing to me as to why the city wasn't willing to front load some of the raises so that at the end of the day, end of the 3-year period, it winds up coming out to a similar amount. But we don't leave that 360 grand plus there on the table. And in the meantime, that is a tremendous benefit to everyone involved here that the money is being put away. In fact, because it would be additional contributions by all three bargaining units, it would add up to literally millions in additional more dollars going into OPEB so that we have that savings in future years. It's really a benefit for all of the employees to know for certain that that money is being set aside, that money is going to be there when you retire. I used this analogy a few years ago. I know I've done it more than once, so I'm not going to try to go on and repeat myself too much, but the gist being that if you went to your employer and they promised you a guaranteed pension or the like, that, oh yeah, guaranteed pension, don't worry, you don't need to save up anything towards it. I don't need to put in anything towards it in advance. We'll just pay it as we go. Trust me, everything will be fine. You'd probably have some more questions about that. Well, here we have it where there's right now $280 million unfunded in OPEB liabilities. We have something like, what, $4.5 million towards it? It's better than zero, but that's not great. That's incredibly underfunded. And that's even before we get into some of the accounting standards and the like. Double-checked, according to the 2022 audit, the number was unfunded for the city at $405 million. It's a change in accounting standards that basically it's how it's projected out. But end of the day, we're talking about hundreds of millions unfunded liability right there. So when I take a look at what happened in the negotiations here, I understand I wasn't there. Negotiations are a bit of a black box, but from what I've pieced together here, it was a matter of the city not being willing to front load in order to get to that 2%. And I think that it would be pretty predictable that the union's position would be that we want to make sure that the members are seeing that a nice increase in the paychecks, that bigger increase in that very first year, which, gosh, I could have predicted that a couple of years ago. So I tell you, I am just truly confused by some of the logic here, where we're going as a city. Last year, the city, outside of the collective bargaining process, approved by the city council, an additional holiday, costing to the tune of about $230,000 a year. Now, giving back in concessions that had already been negotiated, that contingency, another 360 grand plus, more or less, it just doesn't add up to me that the city is basically giving away these kinds of funds and then at the same time claiming that we're not having the ability to front load some of these salary increases and the like, when it, over the long term, it's going to leave everyone in a better position with OPEB and, well, otherwise, it can be negotiated where it all balances out. Unfortunately, we on the city council, we're not able to try to renegotiate anything. It's a matter of a straight up or down vote. So this takes me back to where I was a couple of years ago. Every time that union contract ratification comes up, I try to be really clear with my position, try to be very consistent here. I ask a couple of questions. Was this negotiated in good faith? And is this making a significant step in the right direction on OPEB? And then kind of built into that, is this something that the city can afford? So when I look at this here, I cannot understand the logic here. Something is not adding up as to why the city took the approach that it did and is leaving all of this money on the table and is otherwise not truly prioritizing making sure that we have these long-term liabilities taken care of. I can almost understand the short-term needs here, but if there were such short-term dire needs to balance this particular budget at the cost of future budgets, then it doesn't add up to me that we would have significant pay increases in the second and third years and such if it was truly a matter of the city cannot afford these types of increases. So I come back to that standard. I thought that I made it as crystal clear as possible in that meeting, January 30th, 2023. Is this making a significant step in the right direction on OPEB? Back then, I said yes, because we were looking at a 2% increase as of January 1, 2025. Now, we're looking at this increase being phased in over the course of 3 years. And so from a certain perspective, of course, this is making a step in the right direction. But
we've got 1 minute, Councilman.
Thank you. But unfortunately, I would say that it's a step back from where we were, what we thought we were doing as of a couple of years ago. I simply can't take that step back. And the logic here that the city has presented, it doesn't add up to me. Thank you.
Councilman DeLuise.
Well, Mr. Howe kind of stole my thunder. And I'm not going to talk about numbers or anything like that. We all know the city's in trouble. We're all taxpayers here. But at the end of the day, normal resident, normal taxpayer, at the end of the day, when someone's breaking into your house, who do you call? When your house is on fire, who do you call? So my feeling about these contracts, I'm in favor of them. And at the end of the day, like Mr. Howe said, you know, the city, for the most part, does a very good job. The streets get taken care of. The trash gets picked up. And, we have fire and police protection. And I think that's what every taxpayer looks forward to. So we all know the city's in trouble, but we have brilliant minds that hopefully can get us out of trouble. I pay taxes. We all pay taxes, but I'm not going to get into numbers like Jeremy. He's very, very intelligent. But Mr. Howe stated it the way I was going to say. That's all I have to say right now.
Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a caveat, I would like to reiterate what Mr. Howe said. Councilman Howe, sorry. I agree wholeheartedly with his sentiment. A couple of items here. There's a lot of talk about unfunded liabilities and the impact that has on the city's financial health. I think it's important to keep in mind that, yes, unfunded liabilities currently sit at $280 million, give or take, relative to the police department. However, the unfunded liability to that end would only come into true fruition at $280 million if all of that was come to call all at once, which I think we can all agree, the chance of that happening is essentially zero. So net positioning, as far as fiscal health for the city, while it's a good barometer for some instances, is not a good overall barometer of the fiscal health of the city. So I think we can push that aside. That large number scares people often, and I think we need to keep that in perspective as to what that actually means. Now, the police union, the city workers union, the fire department, they all have an obligation to come forward with the city and negotiate in good faith. And I think this contract that the mayor and his staff and the administration and all of the unions have come to, these contracts rather, have been negotiated in very good faith. I think it's unfair that we look back 2 years and say, look what the fire department did, and now we're hamstringing these two unions that are here before us tonight to say, well, you need to follow suit because the fire department did it. I think that's a very poor position to take from the administration standpoint, that they didn't have the opportunity to collectively bargain at that time. So for to put them in a position where we're demanding 2% is unfair to them because they didn't have a voice in those initial negotiations. And I commend the administration for saying, okay, we have a 2% goal, similar to what the fire union did. How do we get there? And they've come up with a plan to amateurize that over time. Now, I want to keep the council's frame of mind in something that we just did, right? Less than a week ago, we just passed passed a resolution to send it up to the state that we're amateurizing a problem at hand over time. Now, to say that we need to take this problem at hand, that be retiree benefits, and we need a demand solution right now is not consistent with what we've shown in an 8-1 vote, what we think is good for the long-term projections of the city. We've shown in an 8-1 vote, in light of what's going on in the school department, that we think the best course of action forward, and I believe that it is the best course of action forward, to amateurize these things over time. And that's the same thing we should be doing with OPEB, which is what you all did. You amateurized it over time, gradual increases that will benefit the taxpayers directly. Now, every dollar that the unions put into OPEB, it is a dollar-for-dollar benefit to the taxpayers because that's $1 less that the city has to pay towards retiree benefits. Now, the projection here is that at some point, this is going to pay for itself. It's based on market gains. It's going to be managed in the trust based on market performance, assuming relatively conservatively, but also in a position where we can gain, I'd assume, around 5.5%. That was the projection. Now, to say that the new employees coming into the unions are not vested in paying for their own future, I'd assume that most people that are coming to work for the city have long-term aspirations to stay here. We're talking about careers that are lasting 15 to 20 plus years. In the next 15 to 20 plus years, to say that the council can't figure it out to the point where we haven't fully funded OPEB at that point out of the union's pocket for their contributions and what they are looking to do long-term, they've recognized the problem. They came to the table in good faith and they said, okay, we see the problem. It could have been zero. They could have taken a position where, no, we're sorry, fire department, we're not funding anything. But they said, you know what? We recognize the issue. We hear your voices that we need to contribute to our long-term benefits. And they were willing to do that. I think this was a good solution. It was amicable on both sides, and it's a fair solution moving forward. Now, hopefully, like I said, this continues to roll forward in good faith. And as we know how the nature of contracts, it's gradual changes over time. That's the current of good faith negotiation and contracts that are built over years. That's why we don't see massive changes in these contracts. So give the city the opportunity to do exactly what we said we think is the best course of action forward on Wednesday last week. Let's stretch this out over time. Let's make a responsible plan that's responsible on both the city's end fiscally and responsible for our workers that come and give 110% to us every single day, that we could not function without all of you. So I would urge my council members to support both of these contracts and move forward with a favorable action.
So is a motion made? Is there a second? Seconded by Councilman Foley. But before we go further, is there anyone else who would like to speak on this? Councilman Gebhardt.
Thank you, Council President. Good discussion here so far. I'm not going to repeat what's been said by
by multiple of my colleagues. For those of us who were here for the last fire contract, you know, there was, I actually rewatched the whole meeting today because it was sent around. You know, there was definite trepidation about going down this path because there were large increases included in that contract. And there was no real guarantee that we would get to where we are today, which is with two additional contracts that contain provisions that unlock what we already ratified in the last fire contract. Now, I concur with the frustration that what we are getting is not what we envisioned when we passed that last contract. But I think Councilman Napa well articulated that we cannot put future future unions and their members into a situation where the outcome has been pre-negotiated for them, right? That's not how the process works. So ultimately, you know, a third of nothing is nothing. And where we are today is we're getting slightly less out of the gate. Give everyone a little bit of time to adjust to making this new contribution into their long-term benefits. We know both of these groups already make substantial contributions to their benefits, and this just adds to it. But it firms up the longevity of the plan. It's a, you know, it's an incremental approach to get us to solve what, you know, I'm only in my third term here, but since the beginning of my time watching meetings or coming to meetings, the OPEB liability has been the number one thing on the table, and kudos to the mayor and his team for tackling it in a meaningful way and bringing these contracts to us. Are they perfect? No. Do they move us in the right direction? Yes. So for that reason, I will be voting yes tonight. Thank you.
Any other members of the council wish to speak? Councilman Muto.
Thank you. I'll be brief. Change is hard, and we had a big challenge in front of us prior to myself and a few others joining the council. But I feel we've actually made a significant step by setting this up. The mechanisms are being established with all the contracts. I am a believer that the agreements were and the contracts were negotiated in good faith. However, I am concerned, and as a union household of a teacher, by agreements not being properly funded and kicked down the road, your 20 to 25 years in your profession, and then you get the rug pulled out from under you. So I will raise this caution. I appreciate the good faith effort. I appreciate all the good work that police, fire, and the municipal unions do. And I appreciate the mechanisms and the hard work that was done over the last several years. I will just challenge over the next several years that 2% on the OPEC will not make it. The assumptions are based on an 8% and a 5.75% compounded interest rate. That's going to leave us significantly short in the future, and well past my retirement, it's going to be time to pay for your benefits. And what will happen then? So I'm raising the cautionary flag right now that going forward, please think about structuring your future contracts to increase your contributions, because it is your benefit, not mine. And I, you know, speaking from experience with contracts and benefits not being funded properly, it sucks. All right. So I will be voting for this contract. with the expectation that we will be looking at the structure of OPEC going forward. Thank you.
Do any other members of the council wish to speak? All right, so I'll just, I don't have any reason to restate the obvious and what's already been stated repeatedly. I'll just point out we're tasked with simply ratification of the contracts. We are not involved in negotiation. So our role here is rather narrow. A no vote would send us most likely to arbitration, which, as those who know, Rhode Island, arbitration favors unions. Not that I'm opposed to that. In fact, I'm rather on board with it. So this isn't really much of a decision for us, for better or worse. I agree that the change that we're seeing is good. It's incremental, but for those who know how collective bargaining works, it has to be incremental. You don't really have another option unless the other side just wants to give away the farm, which shouldn't happen and doesn't now that we have a very different administration than we did a decade ago. Decade? 2 decades? I'm old. It's starting to blend together. The point is that the agreement is a good one. It's better than what we had. And no one can really argue, at least those two very succinct basic points. And no one can argue either that the police definitely deserve everything they get and some. So I'm all in favor, and the clerk will call the roll on the motion for favorable action.
Cincinnati.
Yes.
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 Yes. No.
Yes.
No.
All right. Next, we have PCR 18-25, resolution ratifying the collective bargaining agreement between the City of Warwick and Council 94, Local 1651, for the period of July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2027. Councilman Lattice, for the report from Finance.
The Finance Committee moved to the council floor without a recommendation.
All right, and now bear in mind, we'll be having public comment first because we weren't able to conclude it properly during committee. So do we have a motion to open the floor for public comment?
Make a motion to open for public comment.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right, so public comment will follow the same rules it always does. So no surprises here. Any members of the public have anything they wish to add? All right, seeing none, do we have a motion to close public comment?
Motion to close.
Motion made to close public comment, seconded by almost everyone. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right, public comment's now closed. So now, council, do your usual thing. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. First, I just have to respectfully disagree with some of my colleagues and characterization that OPEB is being amortized. There is no amortization happening here. None. The unfunded liability, $289 million as it currently stands under those particular accounting standards, that's just growing. The city is doing a pay-as-you-go model with very, very little contribution, such that the balance, except for the change in accounting standards and some of the actuarial projections and the like, on average, the balance goes up and up and up every year, not down. The payments are going towards it. As of right now, before the ratification of this contract, those annual contributions are quite small in comparison to the amount that it goes up on average every single year. Eventually, if you have something that just continues to go up at that escalating rate, it gets to a point where we can't just continue to pay for it as we go. As right now, we've been paying for the benefit as we go. But between healthcare inflation, simply having very, very little in that OPEB trust account, so we're not taking advantage of compound interest, quite the opposite. Between all of that, And then, well, all of these, well, healthcare inflation and the fact that every single year and quite a while into the future too, we continue to have a greater ratios of retirees compared to active employees paying in. It was, what was it, a half dozen years ago when we switched from having more active employees than retirees to more retirees than active employees, and that ratio keeps growing. So when you hear that analogy about Social Security and the like, that applies similar logic here at the city level, except we don't have a $1 trillion-plus trust fund like Social Security does. We have a bit over $4 million in the bank to cover a currently $289 million unfunded liability. I'll also just add that the pensions aren't fully funded. We used to be on a 40-year plan to fund the original Fire Police One pension. We switched away from that. We're no longer amortizing that as we are either. Like I was saying earlier, a dollar is a dollar. You look at all of these unfunded liabilities together, major school bond coming up, put all of those together, look at how much the city is going to have to pay out every single year in these coming years. I tell you, the math looks incredibly bad. I hope that the city can turn this around. I really do. In the past, I made motions and voted to support tax increases when 0% tax increases were being proposed. I voted, made motions to increase taxes when smaller tax increases were being opposed, because I see this as a problem where we need shared sacrifice. Taxes are going to have to go up, and employees are going to have to make contributions into this as well to make sure that those benefits are actually there when you turn and it's time to use them. So I'm not afraid of taking the hard votes when it comes to this. If we don't all make some serious sacrifices to make sure this all works, well, it's just not going to be there. The rate of progress that I'm seeing, this scaling back of the progress that it looked like we were going to be able to negotiate. And again, it just doesn't make any sense to me that the city wasn't able to come up with that offer to make sure that we were taking all of the money on the table. It's a win-win for everyone that the city would be putting away more money into making sure that we can pay for these benefits. So if I'm frustrated tonight, it's because I feel like we're all sitting here applauding that something good is happening, that raises are coming, and that the benefits are going to be there. But what I'm foreseeing here is that unless things seriously change very quickly, in fact, for all I know, perhaps it's already too late. I'm not a financial expert, but I try to listen to the financial experts. And they were telling us before I got on this city council, this is my ninth year on the city council, listening to the old reports where they were telling us that we were past the point of no return before I even got elected for the first time. When I'm hearing all of that, and when I see the continuing dire numbers and all of these trends, if I was a city employee, I would not count on the pension, at least the pension at these certain rates that are guaranteed in the contract. I would not count on lifetime health insurance being there either. We saw what happened in Central Falls. What was it in Central Falls? They're getting 30 cents on the dollar on their pension because they ran out of money. My God, I don't like to talk about these things and, you know, doomsday stuff, obviously. For the next few years, I'm sure everything will look fine. The budgets will be more or less balanced. But there's going to come a point, I don't know precisely when, but my fear is that it's not too far off, that those numbers that the city has to pay out every single year, there's going to be maximum tax increases, and those just aren't going to be enough to cover the difference. And then the general fund balance starts to shrink. We had a few very good years of reprieve here between tens of millions of dollars in federal ARPA funds coming in, as well as other reasons why we had a very good run of a few years right there. But the general trends are going to catch up to us because we're not making those major structural changes to make sure that all of this is actually funded. So I would just seriously caution, I want all of the benefits promised to be there when each and every one of you retires. Sitting here in this chair in good faith, I cannot make you that promise. And for that reason, I'm not going to sign my name onto a contract that makes promises if I personally, after doing my due diligence and looking at these numbers, trying to listen to the experts, if I am not convinced that we can actually pay for the work that you're doing now and the benefits that the city is promising to you in the future at the time of your retirement. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question for Chief of Staff Senti.
Bill Fasenti, Chief Staff.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
And you as well.
I have a question because a few days ago I put a request in for information because I was hearing things and I just want a clarification. I'd like you to answer this on the record. This lifetime health care that I keep hearing about, my understanding based on something I received in writing is that no new employees get lifetime health care. Is that correct?
That's not true. We don't get lifetime health care. We switch to Medicare.
I don't know
why. We switch to Medicare at 65, so we won't get lifetime medical.
And is that paid for by the city?
We get a supplement, and then the rest is paid by the employee.
Louder.
We get a supplement, and the rest is paid by the employee.
Okay, so the supplement is the Plan B, what would be considered right. Plan B.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other members of the council wish to speak on this matter? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Council President. So to clarify on Councilman Foley's question, when an employee retires, whether it be at age 40 or at age 60, they get lifetime health care until they turn 65. Then it goes to Medicare. It had changed 2012-ish or so, I forget the exact date, to only cover the employee with lifetime health care. So they do get lifetime health care. This OPEB thing, this is a pie in the sky. It's wishful thinking. It's hoping that it's going to be the save all of the financial crash, if you will. It's going to be the cure all of the bleeding that is taking place. Well, maybe some people are right, but I don't believe so. If the cure for this ongoing out of control expense in perpetuity is going to be controlled or at least drastically reduced to affordable level for the taxpayers, then you have to increase the co-pays. You have to increase the cap on prescription drugs. You have to eliminate lifetime health care for new hires, and you have to put in a co-pay on retirees. Anything other than that, I will not be supporting. Thank you.
Any other members of the council? Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you, Council President. this is for the Chief of Staff. This is a little in the weeds, so I apologize. But I was reflecting back on my notes from the last time we went through this contract. So Article 14 established this Employee Productivity and Efficiency Committee. How many times did that meet this past year?
Can you repeat that question?
Article 14 in the
never mind. Hold on.
So that is has been in the contract. I've been here for 5 years. And I did some research on it. Somebody asked this question a while ago. I don't have any record of that committee meeting. It may have met when it was first put in, but not in the last 5 years. And I can't find a record committee. If there were no notes on it, my predecessors. So I don't think it's met for certainly not for more than 5 years.
Just an observation, you know, this kind of would have been a good opportunity if there was no intention of continuing with it, that it could be maybe struck out of the contract, or given that it exists here and obviously had genesis and some bright idea, might be a good idea for this to meet and potentially work on, you know, matters relating to efficiency. All right. So, the second one is just an observation. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. I think we're good. The second one is I, as we were getting ready for this, I was just reflecting on the last time we had the city's financial planner here, in the presentation, and Councilman Ricks, cited a number from that, where, it was described to us that, you know, in order to sort of fully cover an individual's healthcare, OPEB healthcare costs in the future, that 8% sort of from the beginning and throughout would be required to meet those costs. Also in that financial presentation. So the way I look at these contracts is we said we were going to move forward with creating a structure to start reserving monies for OPEB. We had a financial plan from our financial planner that involved creating the trust, funding it with some monies. And there were four recommendations in that plan in terms of making this a sustainable and workable solution. One was, you know, redirecting monies that are currently allocated to pensions that may be transitioning out or funded at suitable levels. That would allow us to make, you know, some more significant contributions to this plan that would sort of get the ball rolling on accumulating interest and building up that fund. Two was employee contributions. Three was one-time monies, like we got back a credit from our health insurance several years back. And one of the suggestions was, you know, to dump that $4 million or whatever into the account. So just while we're talking about this, because if you just look at the 2%, especially the 0.66% and 0.67 and up to 2 in a couple of years, it's, you know, there aren't numbers that are going to wow you because this isn't meant to be a one-time cure-all, pie-in-the-sky fix to all of our problems, right? This is an incremental approach. So can you just talk about other ways that you envision? Because I heard Mr. Kaiser talk about, you know, that the only funds that would go into this account would be that 2%, you know, kick in from the employee paychecks. But that doesn't seem like it would be sufficient in the long term. So did I mishear that? Are there plans to, you know, fund this in other ways in partnership with, you know, with the guidance of our financial advisor in the future. So I'll leave that to you.
Yeah, you are correct in that Joe Newton, our actuary, had given us several different options, and 8% was his determination, as Councilman Ricks had indicated, was necessary to make a, based on expectations of growth in the assets, to address the problem. We have to start somewhere. A seed has been planted at 2%, which will be there in 3 years. We'll have another round of negotiations. We'll have new actuarial reports. The growing number of employees, well, as mentioned on the non-union side, anyone hired after 2012 is not eligible for retiree health benefits at all. Obviously, that had substantial, or it does have benefit with respect to our long-time liabilities. Going forward, municipal and public safety employees hired after a certain date are only eligible for individual plans. That had an effect on the accrued liability. So these other steps have already been taken. The 2% has planted a seed. Future negotiations will allow us additional opportunities to address our overall liability.
And then on the city side, as some of these other plans retire, are we still thinking that it would be the intention to redirect, you know, some of those monies into this account to shore up the long term?
With changes in pension arcs, potentially, that may be an option. As indicated earlier, you know, we see the employee OPEB contribution negotiated in these contracts as a way of as a cost avoidance to enable the city to direct its resources to other needs within the city, as opposed to using general fund dollars for the OPEB support.
Okay. All right. The only other thing that felt a little murky is it was brought up a few times that, you know, there was a $400 million liability, and then there was some magic, and then it went to 250 or 295 or whatever the number is today. So can you just explain, because I think this is a function of the discount rate in the calculation. Can you just, are you prepared to explain that? No.
Okay. No, quite candidly, no. that's an actuary. His reasoning behind that, and obviously it's looking at the overall state of the economy, what the expectations are on interest rates and stock market.
Got it. All right, I think I'm okay for now. Thank you.
Favorable action.
Do any members of the council wish to add? Councilman Lattice, or you have?
Yep. All right, you're good.
Okay, thank you. I want to follow up on a question that Councilman Gebhardt asked. I actually had it highlighted here in my binder and just got distracted from it. The question is Article 14. And it was stated that the city has not acted on this particular contractual requirement ever, apparently. Does that mean that the city is in violation of this contract by never acting, never forming this committee that is required contractually?
I just want to clarify. I don't know that.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Let me just clarify. I couldn't find it. I don't know that it was never formed, but by not forming a committee, we're not in violation. If the union felt we were in violation, they would file a grievance. But the committee is enabling, if you will, and if the parties form it, then they form it, and if they don't, then they don't. But if they don't, it's not a contractual violation. But I'm not sure that it was never met, Councilman. I just can say that I asked some of my colleagues. I looked from when I was here. I looked at some of my predecessors' notes. I don't see it. I'd be surprised if it would never met, but I just can't see the when.
Well, it requires four members designated by the city. So we have several people here from the city. Do they know who, if or when these four members were appointed?
Senior President wants to respond.
Close.
All right. Jason Wendelowski, 1651 President. I can speak on the Article 14. We're in the process. All right. Here we go. All right. Article 14, the committee that you're stating, we were in the process of working on it with union officials at the time. We had an election. We had a change in officials. So we're back to working on it once again, along with the city, to bring on four members of each side to create a efficiency.
When, excuse me, when was Article 14, when did it become part of the contract?
I believe it was probably two contracts ago. It would be under Mayor Solomon.
So it could have been 6 years ago?
Somewhere around there. Yeah.
And as of today, there is no committee?
No.
Okay.
We're still working on it.
Okay.
We just had some, you know, working on the contract for the last, pretty much the last 10 months, almost to a year. This has been hard fought and worked in good faith. We had our contract as well as the FOP. So there was some constraints at the time.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Last question for Mr. Kaiser. Hasn't our actuaries presented a number to us, not just once, but probably several times, for what the required contribution will be from the city to properly fund this OPEB plan?
Well, as mentioned, it was 8% to.
But we haven't been funding it, right? We have, the city hasn't been funding it, period. Just recently, we put in $500,000, right, through Council Ricks.
We've put in approximately $3.5 million, or $4 million, is to say.
When?
22 and 23, there were $500,000 appropriations in the general fund budget.
Okay.
For OPEB contributions. And then we transferred a healthcare reserve, of which at the one time there was approximately $7 million.
You took that money from the healthcare reserve to put it in the OPEB?
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, it was for healthcare purposes.
Mm-hmm. And if I remember correctly, the number that was presented to us by our actuaries, who they are the experts in the numbers, and supposedly this is what we're paying for. The number was significantly higher, in the millions per year, higher than what we can tax. I believe if you look into that, that's what you're going to see. It's higher than what we can tax. So that's, I'm done with this OPEB thing. Thank you.
Any other members of the council wish to speak on this matter? All right, I'll do my fun last word then. So it irks me every time this happens, and eventually I lose my patience with it. So I'm just going to do the diatribe now. OPEB, pay-as-you-go, is a viable, accepted method of funding OPEB benefits. Look it up if you don't believe me. In fact, one state used to mandate use of pay-as-you-go. I don't think they mandated it anymore, but they used to. So the claim that it is not a viable method is false, factually inaccurate. Now, an accurate claim is that it provides less stability than pre-funding OPEB benefits. That is absolutely true, and to say contrary would be a lie. So the argument isn't a zero-sum game, as often seems to be suggested, or at least implied. The argument is simply, which one do you prefer? However, we no longer are in that boat. We are now moving towards pre-funding, which is what many people have argued for many years. This provides for more financial stability, less unexpected large expenditures if more people all of a sudden are injured or retire all at once. This is a good thing. As correctly pointed out by the administration, you can only do incremental change. If you tried to do 8% all at once, as far as collective bargaining negotiations go, it is a give and a take. If they give 8% all at once, they also get to take something. That means you would have to, let's say, give them even more health benefits or more pay. And I would, you know, I think I could safely guess that people don't want to do that right now. So take your incremental benefits and be thankful. This is a good thing. Good thing. Incremental benefits are how collective bargaining agreements work. It's a fact. Ask Councilman Foley. He used to help negotiate them and deal with this crap. Okay? This is how they work. The city didn't used to try to do this. Now they are. Again, this is a good thing. You can argue you wish it was done a different way. Sure. But you can't argue they should have went right to 8% because that's not practical. It's not possible. So, to recap, the move to pre-funding OPEB is factually a good thing for the purposes of long-term financial stability. OPEB, pay-as-you-go, remains a viable method. And for now, we are somewhat a hybrid as the pre-funding takes effect more and more. And as the administration stated, they plan on hopefully increasing it as contracts go on. Because again, incremental. I know school committee member Testa is very fond of the phrase, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. This isn't perfect, but it's damn near close as far as to what you can do with a collective bargaining agreement. So to sling mud at it and to suggest otherwise when the facts strongly disagree with you, I think is not appropriate, we'll say. Clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Please take your conversations outside. We have one more item left. PCR 19-25, resolution ratifying the memorandum of agreement between the City of Warwick and Local 2748 International Association of Firefighters, AFL-CIO, relative to Employees Benefits Trust Fund. Councilman Lattiser for the Finance Committee's report.
The Finance Committee recommended to move to the floor without a recommendation.
All right, and to recap for those who weren't with us earlier, public comment was not received on this yet, and no presentation occurred yet. So first, we'll do the presentation, then we'll do public comment, assuming it's the council's wishes, then we'll close public comment, again, assuming it's the council's wishes, and then we'll go to the council. So first, administration.
Good evening, Bill Facenti, Chief of Staff to Mayor Picozzi. This is a memorandum of agreement between the City of Warwick and Local 2748 International Association of Firefighters, AFL-CIO. As it's been mentioned numerous times, the collective bargaining agreement between the city and the fire union called for a 2% OPEB with each of the other unions, municipal and FOP, to also contribute 2%. To piggyback on Councilman Napa's comments, at the time, the fire department firefighters were not privy to what the negotiations would be for tonight, as the Council 94 and FOP were not privy to the negotiations back in 2022. The MOA reduces the 2% OPEB deduction on the firefighters beginning on January 1st, 2025, to match the other two unions to 0.66% beginning on January 1st, 2025 for parity and equity. I move favorable action. Or request favorable action. I don't move it.
Oh, I just realized who's left. Does any members of the public have any comments or questions? Well, sorry. Can the council, anybody want to open it up for a public comment? Councilman Gebhardt, do we have a second? Councilman Napa, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Any members of the public have any comments or questions on the resolution before us? Okay. Do we have a motion to close public comment? Motion by Councilman Napa. Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Ricks. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. So now this is before the full council. Any takers? Councilman Ricks.
It being the situation that the city council has voted to ratify the previous two collective bargaining agreements that were before us this evening, it makes perfect sense for us to move forward with the favorable action on this item to make sure that the OPEB contributions at the rates specified in those two collective bargaining agreements actually take effect as to all three collective bargaining units, the unions, that is. Thank you.
I expressed earlier, you know, my support for the two contracts that we just passed, but this one is particularly frustrating though, because when we heard the contract, we made our concessions based on an expectation of what we would get from this contract. The two we just passed substantially watered down what we are getting out of this. I'd love to vote no, given that we need the three of these to advance the package as a whole, I'll count votes first. Thank you.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Pass.
I have one. It's a resolution. The title is authorizing a telecommunications lease at 150 Draper Avenue with Tower Co. 2013 LLC and Cellco Partnership DBA Verizon Wireless.
Public properties. Ward 6, Ward 7, Ward 9, and then I have one resolution requesting the Rhode Island General Assembly enact legislation to support municipal work and reimbursement. Intergovernmental. And we stand adjourned. Gavel, gavel.